Welcome in, everyone, to Morning Invest on this November 9th, Taco Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And coming up on the show today, we've got a big bombshell story at the Federal Reserve. Could Jerome Powell be out? We'll get into the details of all of this. This could be a major shift for monetary policy, and I'm going to tell you how it could affect you and your family specifically. How this shakeup could affect you and your family. So we'll go through all of that.
And the stimulus bills that are on Congress floor have provisions about crypto traders that is truly perplexing, asking them for things that no blockchain has. So is the United States now antagonistic towards crypto, or has it been the whole time? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, as the rest of the world maybe moves towards crypto as a legal tender, we'll talk about that. Plus, the mainstream media is lying to you once again. I know it's shocking, but we've got some amazing kind of jaw-dropping reports from the New York Times and CNN over the past 24 hours as it relates to the Nicaraguan election that happened there yesterday. So we'll deep dive what the New York Times is doing this morning and so much more.
Do you want me to say anything more?
You can if you want to.
Okay, we'll tell you when we get there.
Yeah, we'll tell you
no
when we get there.
No more teasing of the story.
No more teasing. All right, Morning Invest starts right now.
This is how you know that we don't have teleprompter on this show, but we actually read the stories and prepare, and it's all up here, because sometimes when it goes haywire, it's just happening right in front of you. We can't prove it on a prompter.
I know. It's like, what words? I have no words. What are the words? I mean, and I anchored a morning show for 4 hours a day for like 20 years, basically, in the mornings.
With very little prompter.
There was no teleprompter. And sometimes you're sitting there and you're like, what are the words that are now coming out of my mouth? I don't even recognize
you just
them.
But we're in it today, you guys. Yeah, we're in it. We're going to talk about some real news. We're ready to do that. What I was going to say is that the next story after that we're going to talk about is how Congress cannot agree on human stimulus at all, but they can agree on giving the Pentagon more money to start up some new war. So. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Way to kick things off, Pentagon. Way to go. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's start today with the big shakeup at the Federal Reserve. So Bloomberg reporting just earlier this morning, a big bombshell story. So good work on Bloomberg's part for getting this story. Craig Torres down there in Washington, Jennifer Jacobs, and Saleha Mohsin. Saying that, wow, Lael Brainard was interviewed to replace Jerome Powell. Yes, in fact, Joe Biden met with Lael Brainard to take over the chairmanship of the Federal Reserve. And she's been clearly being seen as a clear rival to the conservative Jerome Powell, who was put in that role by President Trump. But there are quite a few people in the Democratic administration right now who absolutely do not like Jerome Powell. And think that he has been absolutely reckless with the spending going towards Wall Street, and thinks that what he's been doing with monetary policy is hurting average Americans.
Now, the Federal Reserve chair job is a 4-year job normally, as appointed by the president. But I believe they do, serve at the pleasure of the president,
right.
Which means that the president does have the opportunity to make changes if he so chooses.
Yeah. So look, I mean, here's the thing with Fed Chief Jerome Powell, why this is such a big deal, right, is that he has said that this whole inflation issue is transitory and that we're going to pull back a little bit on the spending, on the money going to Wall Street. And so this inflation that you're seeing is going to run up to about 3%. It's just going to last maybe two, maybe three quarters into 2022. It's not going to be a big deal. But it is a big deal. It's a very big deal for a lot of families right now. The story this morning about how your Thanksgiving meal is going to be like 3 or even 4 times more expensive. If you want to go buy a pot roast right now, plan on spending like $100 to get a pot roast.
And you better eat the leftovers, Clayton.
I will eat the leftovers if it's costing me $100. But the issue is that Jerome Powell has been lockstep in favor of Wall Street. And so Democrats are not happy with that.
But when have they not? Give me a time in recent history where the Fed has not been in favor of Wall Street.
I can't think of it. Can't think of it at all.
So he's not doing anything different than Greenspan or anybody did. or so Bernanke.
So what do we know about this next person?
That's the question,
right?
Will Lael Brainard be an advocate for the average American? How would that unfold, right? How could a Fed chief help the average American? Well, one thing that they could do is really try to put a clamp down on the amount of money that's going to Wall Street. Wall Street's fine with inflation because they make more money, right?
Yes.
So Wall Street makes more money when you pay more for a pot roast or your Thanksgiving dinner or your gas prices or your energy prices. They make more money.
Do they, though? Because the reason that some of the stuff is going up because the cost to create it is going up. You know what I mean? So it seems to me like they would make more money if it was...
They're not shrinking their margins.
Right. Profit margins are continuing to rise, even though they continue to say raw goods are costing more. For some reason, that has not hurt their bottom line.
Right. And we've seen companies like Chipotle with like record profits.
And they're now working into their equation the fact that they have to sell fewer items to make the same amount of profit. Right. And they're happy with that. They're like, good. Then we don't pay as many people. Then we don't have this operating costs and the expenses. So are we thinking then that this is strict performance related shakeup, or do you think that it has to do with, because recently the news was that Jerome Powell had traded some stocks just before the market tanked last fall.
Right.
So we don't think it's scandal related. We think it's just market performance related.
That's a good question. I think it's not necessarily market related. I think it's politically motivated. That's at the heart of all of this, is that who is going to, like right now, President Biden's approval rating is in the toilet. And Wall Street is doing absolutely fine,
yes,
while the American people are suffering. And so you can look at this independent body at the Federal Reserve and say, this guy's policies have put us where we are, $28 trillion in debt, billions of dollars going to Wall Street banks, going to big companies that are doing just fine, and a totally out of whack dynamic where the average American right now is paying way more just to get by.
Yes.
And so if this is an opportunity for President Biden to step in and say, make a change where we're going to have someone at the head of the Fed who cares more about the American people, cares more about making sure that this inflationary number doesn't run hot for up to 3%, but stays closer to 2% and actually pulls back some of this runaway spending. I mean, President Biden is receiving a lot of pressure right now from the likes of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, who think that he is, again, just a one big cog in a Wall Street machine right now.
Because he refuses to raise interest rates?
Because exactly.
Specifically this is the one piece, you think?
Raising interest rates, and he says, interest rate, that, I don't say there's one reason, but that's one of many reasons, right?
Well, when have they?
Raised interest rates?
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time they raised interest rates. It was, I think it was 2018.
Bernanke raised them, right? But wasn't it?
I don't remember the last time it was raised. The bottom line is Democrats would be excited by this choice of Brainard to have a woman at the head of it. Mm-hmm. Janet Yellen has kind of been a little wishy-washy on her support. She's friends with Jerome Powell, but of course she works at the pleasure of the President of the United States as well, at the head of the Treasury. And this would have a tough confirmation battle right now, because I don't think Republicans would go along with Brainard. So then in the end, we might end up having to
interim chair.
Maybe not, or Powell gets renominated, because you just don't want to roil the markets right now. Wall Street loves the guy. That's the thing.
Yes.
Wall Street loves the guy. They're happy with him because of the money he's been funneling to them.
Uh-huh.
And even if he pulls back on these bond purchases, it doesn't matter to Wall Street. They're going to be just fine. So, I think that she's an interesting candidate. She's got a PhD from Harvard. She spent her career in the Treasury Department. She's been viewed as highly competent, experienced in macroeconomics. She has she's authored a new language on the Fed's longer run strategy, where it refined the idea, what does full employment mean? I don't know. She could be sort of the new progressive choice at the Fed.
So then let's play this out. So if she did go in and raise interest rates, it would mean that fewer companies could lend, right? And fewer borrowers would come. And when money comes into a bank, the banks create 90% more money, right?
Right.
So it would maybe put a halt on all of this money creation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that...
Well, I think it used to be 90%. That's kind of lifted, isn't it?
Yeah, I think under pandemic, it's now 100%.
Oh, right. 100%.
So now when you take money and put it in the bank, they can lend out 100% of
your
money.
Does that have an end date?
I don't know if it's sunsetted or not.
Can we not do that
for a while? I don't know if it's sunsetted or not.
Yeah, because according to them, the pandemic's over, right?
Right.
Interesting.
You know, here's the thing. And this is the way that this Bloomberg piece discusses it. Discussing the chairmanship with Brainard could signify that the Biden team is weighing how a break with Powell might help advance their goals for the central bank. Brainard and Powell work closely together on multiple issues and are viewed as holding similar views on monetary policy, but she has favored a tougher stance on big banks. That's what it comes down to for Democrats. And, you know, again, these big banks are doing the same things right now that got us into this financial mess to begin with. These big banks are doing the exact same credit default swap garbage investing of these mortgage-backed securities that got us into the financial mess in the first place.
That's because nothing, absolutely nothing happened to any of them. They're like, hey, we did this before and nothing happened. Let's just lay low and we'll start doing it again and they'll bail us out.
Yeah, no one was punished. No one was punished. No one lost their job. I mean, other than
Geithner kind of was the fall guy for the Treasury, right? Like,
yeah, Tim Geithner. Yeah,
Geithner.
Yeah, but yeah. And then you had other countries like Iceland that dealt with it and actually put people behind bars when they went through this same issue. So
yeah, they bailed out the people, and look where they're at.
So I'm just interested in, you know, I think this is going to be an interesting moment. I think if anything, it reflects the administration's acknowledgement that most Americans are pretty unhappy with this perception that, you know, that the Fed is basically in bed with Wall Street and it hasn't helped them.
Perception.
Yeah.
Well, or
the truth.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. And again, Wall Street's and Democrat or Republicans are not going to be happy with this. So it might not pass. But this is who's been interviewed by President Biden over the past few days, kept in quiet, clandestine meeting to see whether or not we'd have a new head of the Fed. So we'll keep our eye on that story.
All right. We're going to move on to talking about what the heck is the IRS thinking about crypto investors. But first, we want to tell you about our show sponsor at Masterworks. So what is one asset that millionaires rarely talk about, but they do, in fact, invest in? Not just yachts. If you read the morning newsletter this morning, talked about how yacht sales are up 18%. I don't think that's a very good investment. It's just a luxury purpose at its very core. But we're going to talk about things that you can buy that also are luxurious, but also an investment. And that is art. Would you believe me if I told you that art investments has outpaced the S&P 500 by 174% from 1995 to 2020? Seems impossible, but it is true. Art is actually a fairly good investment. Actually, those numbers are more than fairly good. Those are very good.
Those are amazing returns. Yeah.
Because the global market of art is expected to increase by $1 trillion in 2026. That's why more and more millionaires are investing in contemporary art. Previously, investing in million-dollar works was reserved for just the ultra-wealthy, locking most investors out of this asset class. But you can invest in art now with Masterworks. It lets you invest in multi-million-dollar paintings, the world's only $1 billion alternative investment program. Now, they've secured over 80 paintings with the SEC, and everyday investors have already invested $250 million. Hundreds already got a 32% return on a Banksy sale. So you can go in on a Banksy, not like you have it and put it up in your house. It's quite unlikely, unless you know him and he comes and does that in your house. And then when that is sold, you have that as an investment. It's pretty cool. So demand for Masterworks offerings is higher than ever, but you can skip their wait list and go to masterworks.io/invest. I'm sorry. That threw me for a bit. All the wires crossed. Let me say it one more time and let me say it nicely. Masterworks.io/invest. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer.
All right. Our thanks to Masterworks for their support.
That's pretty cool.
All right, so let's continue to talk about the Fed. And there's been movement around the world lately about cryptocurrency being turned into legal tender. We saw it in El Salvador, of course, Bitcoin becoming legal tender. There are other countries now around
Nigeria now has the e-Naira.
Yeah, the Ethiopia moving towards it. So there's a lot of different companies or countries right now moving towards Bitcoin or cryptocurrency as legal tender. But the United States government seems hell-bent on really
not doing that.
Right, not doing that and trying to hurt crypto investors, specifically the IRS. And if you looked more closely at what's inside of the infrastructure bill, crypto investors are up in arms this morning, myself included, Natalie included. What's actually hidden inside this infrastructure bill about cryptocurrency?
Exactly. So what it would require is that people who receive more than $10,000 in cash and cash equivalents in business-like transaction file these reports with the IRS, including details about who paid them, such as names and social security numbers. That is not possible by very definition of a blockchain. A blockchain is anonymous and unregulated. When you get a piece of that blockchain, you don't know where it came from. It is not possible. So critics are now worried if this would force participants in crypto and NFT trades to have to disclose information that they just don't have. Does this mean that the government will say, well, you knowingly didn't disclose that, so now you get a penalty? What does that mean? It signals that either they want to punish something that they don't understand, which
right.
doesn't seem likely to me. I think they understand it, or they want to just flat out discourage it.
They don't want their precious US dollar threatened.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
you know, so again, this, we saw this in China. China, right? So let's think about this. The US dollar is the reserve currency of the world. Right. It is the U.S. dollar is the standard by which all other governments operate.
Mm-hmm. Well,
China and is trying
trade
to become.
Alone. That's the big yeah. part of it. It's the exactly. petrodollar.
And China is trying to take over for the U.S. dollar. China has been saying, well, why are we relying on the U.S. dollar as our own
bellwether?
Standard?
Yeah. Yes.
Why don't we have the China yuan as the standard? So China has already done this, right? They've already banned cryptocurrency so that there is no. They've created their own digital dollar. They've
yes.
created their own Chinese digital dollar. And they've said it's been a great success. They deposited.
I think it was like 14 billion. Dollars in transactions, something like that. Yeah. We reported in the newsletter just last week. They're saying it's a big success. It is not a Bitcoin. It right. is not its own cryptocurrency. It is a, what are we calling them? Stable coin, because it's backed by, it is an equivalent of an actual physical dollar or yuan. And so that is what the European Central Bank now is saying, that they think in short order, the euro will move to some kind of digital currency. That does not mean the euro will go away. It means there will now also be a digital version. The United States has not wanted to do this. And I think one reason is, one, yes, they don't want to have, they don't want disruption of their power of the central bank,
right.
but also it would force them to admit that only 4% of the money in the economy right now exists in paper form, which means that 96% or more is already digital.
Right.
And so it's just not existing on a blockchain. It's just existing on this old infrastructure whereby we send money by wiring, high fee wiring in other sort of expensive transactions, right? So you think about the banks would really be harmed with their inability to charge us for transactions if everything right. were on a blockchain. Wall Street would be harmed. Like there are a lot of people who make a lot of money would be harmed by a digital currency.
And think about just the little things like the banks do. So when they take your money, they take it immediately. But when you get a refund on a credit card, it takes 3 to 5 days. They gain interest on that money while it sits there those 3 to 5 days.
Yes.
That's why they do that. They could instantly. Right. So they don't want money moving instantly to people.
Correct. Or just on this old infrastructure. You know, right. you think about the infrastructure bill, right? And the fact that we're so worried about like rickety bridges. I mean, that is the back end of our money transaction in the United States. And a blockchain would make that cheap and easy for regular people who want to, say, support grandma who lives in Florida by putting some money in their bank. Or, I mean, that's why we have these disruptor apps like Venmo or Zelle, but they have transaction limits because they can't handle those transactions without high fees being incurred. That will not happen. That's why El Salvador has been one of the first to adopt Bitcoin, rather, because they know so many El Salvadorians live outside of their borders and need to exchange money with family back home. And so it's like, oh, this would actually help people send money to each other, help people support extended family. No, we can't have it.
Right. And how many people are unbanked? So that's the beauty of decentralized finance, is that how many millions of people around the world that don't have a bank account? And think about the predatory practices in the United States where, hey, we're going to put a dollar store in here and across the street it's going to be a payday lending place. So you can come in with your paycheck and get a loan like a few days before you get your paycheck. We'll take 30%.
Right.
Right. So because you don't have a bank account.
Yeah.
So we'll take care of it for you, and you just pay us 20-30% for us to cash this check for you. You know, the article points out, as this Fast Company piece says, about why this IRS provision would be so damning, that miners, stakers, lenders, decentralized application and marketplace users, traders, businesses, and individuals are all at risk of being subject to this reporting requirement by the IRS, even though in most situations the person or entity in receipt is not in the position to report that required information. This is an attorney who from the University of Virginia and a law professor. So again, decentralized finance or DeFi operations where automated smart contracts provide financial services could also be affected by this provision. It's amazing that how DOPIC. So right now people are saying, like, look, you've got to get on this provision, this 6050, you know, I provision in the infrastructure bill seems like a disaster. So Coinbase is really upset about it. And he says it's a criminy felony statute that could freeze a lot of healthy crypto behavior like DeFi.
So then you can't report where you bought something off of a blockchain and you get a felony.
Right. Like you. So now you're a criminal
because you just don't have it,
because you don't have that information. So imagine like buying an NFT.
Right.
I mean, for instance, here's an idea. Like, you know, there's a domain website. There's a domain registrar that's now allowing you to buy, buy URLs, like website URLs, as NFTs. Instead of having to renew a domain every year, like on GoDaddy.
Oh.
You would just buy it as an NFT and you would own it in perpetuity. Brilliant, right?
Yes.
Well, imagine that company now is going to have to figure out how to report all of that to the IRS, or you as a user of that blockchain are going to have to report this. I mean, it just makes it.
Yet all
makes
these
no sense.
Billionaire companies have these offshore accounts that can hide money and do all this stuff, and they never see, you know, nothing ever happens to them. This is, again, just to go after this small investor that's making. They don't want people to have a savings account in this country.
Right. Yeah, so they're just going to go after these investors. They're going to go after, so $10,000? Like, that's people who receive more than $10,000. That's a lot of people.
But yes, because a lot of people are using their investment funds, right?
Right.
So investors are moving this money. Yes. Yeah. But it's still, as I know it's a lot of money, but it's still smaller transactions. And I mean, it's on the lower end of what people transact. And so it would be aimed specifically at not the big banks,
right?
Those who are not in power.
Well, they're saying, hey, we're going after money launderers. That's the, you know, that's what we're trying to do, is stop the money laundering.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We're going after money launderers. We're going after the billionaires with the taxing, knowing the $600 transactions. We only want the big bad guys.
Right. But by the way, money laundering, as if people haven't been money laundering for decades
with actual money.
With actual money in the Bahamas and other places. Like,
well,
this
it just
is like
feels
a new
like
thing.
They're just trying to equate crypto to criminality. Like, they just want you to think lower of crypto and not think that it's something good. So you're going to have a bunch of people that read that article and be like, "No, crypto's bad. It's going against the U.S. dollar. People are just laundering money." And
well, it's a threat. We know how that goes. I mean, and the bottom line is it's a threat to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar as this hegemony, right, the financial reserve currency of the world, It's a threat to that. And what is what? Imagine if the you know the United States dollar government $28 trillion in debt, and you have Americans saying we're sick of this. Like you, this is a phony currency. It's printed out of thin air. Mm-hmm. It means nothing.
You keep stealing it from us.
You keep stealing. Yeah, you keep stealing it from us. You keep printing more of it and giving it to Wall Street.
Yeah.
The cost, when I take this dollar and go and buy bread, now it only gets me half as far as it used to. And imagine if Americans suddenly say, no, you know what? I'm going to start using Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Which as a store of value, we've seen 400% increases year over year.
Right.
It's like we keep loaning our money to people with the drug problem.
Yes.
Yeah, and by the
we're
way,
Bitcoin, enabling their spending habits.
You were about to say Bitcoin hit a new all-time high.
Today. How'd you know that?
Because I could read your mind.
Yes, I was going to say that.
I married you for your mind. it hit a new all-time high today, 68,000, and Ethereum also hit a new all-time high today. So, again, if you have a choice of where to put your money right now, do you want it in this corrupt government dollar backed by these crooks on Wall Street and the Federal Reserve and the Treasury? Or would you rather have your money in a decentralized blockchain where every transaction is accounted for?
Or would you rather have it under a mattress?
That's a good question.
Combination.
No, I'd rather have it on the blockchain. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below.
All right, I want to have some under the mattress just in case, because you never know when you might have to leave in the dead of night.
That's true. You should have. I think there's, you know, that we should have some precious metals, gold and silver and things like that. But, you know, did you see that Ethereum? Is it Bitcoin? No, Ethereum is now nipping at the heels of silver.
Like, wow.
It's that close to replacing, or am I getting that wrong? Is it Bitcoin? I read it this morning. That Bitcoin is closing in on gold, by the way. But Bitcoin is as close to moving into like that asset class now where it's about to eclipse silver as an asset class.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what shocks me is that companies like, you know, American Express or somebody like that isn't stepping up and creating some kind of system around crypto to, you know.
Their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
This is why I'm so bullish on Square, you know, Jack Dorsey's company, because while you have all these legacy institutional banks that have sat there and thought it was a fad, now all of that this morning, the numbers on institutions buying up Bitcoin is staggering. They are swallowing it up. They're trying to buy as much as they can because they realized this was a huge mistake. They missed the boat on this. And so now, you know, you have all these big banks jumping on board to make sure that they own this as an asset class. But Jack Dorsey and Square and some of these startups have had smarter moves with creating, you know, like Square owns Cash App.
Yeah.
You know, and so like being able to have these transactions take place on their platform, they're screwing, you know, Visa and MasterCard and these other companies are just getting screwed right now.
Yeah.
I did not realize they own Cash App. I love that app. That is like one of the cleanest apps I've ever used. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, they just reported their Q3 earnings, Square did last week, and they had 2% of their revenue now coming from billions of dollars in transactions coming from Cash App. So Square has added that revenue to their portfolio.
Would you like to talk about the Nicaraguan election, or would you like to move on to a show sponsor? Let's do that then.
Yeah, let's talk about Nicaragua. Okay. So I want everyone to pay attention to this story because it's not really about Nicaragua as it is so much as the mainstream media continuing to lie to you. Like if you want perfect example of how the mainstream media fabricates stories so that you fall in line with their narrative that is pro-war, keeping money in Wall Street, corporate backed politicians, keeping this entire cycle in place so that you remain in poverty, you remain not having access to quality healthcare, education, then look no further than the story I'm going to show you right now. You know, when I was growing up and I was in college, I had a professor who changed my life, and he said, you should always question the material you're reading and seeing. Right? Where does it come from? And one thing he taught me was whenever you pick up a book for the first time, look at the date that it was written for context. Like, oh, it was written in 1992. This was happening in the world then. Look at the author. Look at the publisher. What does the publisher stand to gain by publishing this book? Like, understanding all of that is vital to understanding where you're getting your information from. And so when you understand that these big companies are funded by billionaires, that the mainstream media is funded in large part by billionaires, and many of these news organizations are also funded in part by the U.S. government. And there's certain arms of the New York Times and others who are funded by the CIA, specifically in Nicaragua, by example. And so there was a story last night. They had the Nicaraguan election.
Yes.
And there, it was amazing to watch the mainstream media coverage of this election. Here is just a slice. Like, if you just did a Google search for Nicaragua election, look how they put election in quotes, right? So, and then they put global outrage as Daniel Ortega, a socialist, okay, because they hate socialism. They hate that people there get health care. They hate that people there are taken care of. They hate it. The mainstream media hates it. And they've done, and the U.S. government hates it, by the way. And the government, the U.S. government has funded coup attempts multiple times inside of Nicaragua. Yes, your tax dollars has gone to overthrowing Nicaraguan's government over the years. You probably might not have known that.
But and Venezuela, I love how they, just recently.
And Venezuela. And other parts, and Ethiopia, and other parts of the world. So I love how they put CNN without, says global outrage. First of all, where's, and it's amazing to read these tweets then as a result of this. There's no global outrage.
Okay, let's give a little context. Because yeah. What you are saying, right, is that there was an election in Nicaragua, and that Ortega did win. Mm-hmm. And what they are saying is,
it's a sham.
It that was not a fair election. It he didn't actually win legitimately. So we are going with the rigged election narrative, right?
Right.
For this one, not for our own. Ours was fine. Right. Right? We don't, that fake news, look yeah. no further. But for this one is okay. This yeah. one was rigged. And so now show your proof.
So
just for a little context, yeah,
here's
everybody.
A little, thank you for that. That's good.
Clayton was going down a rabbit hole and I needed to pull
up.
You back.
I get fired up. So let me see if I can find, maybe it didn't save here. I hope it did. Yeah, like here's CNN's example. CNN tries to go, this is from CNN. CNN tries to go inside Nicaragua as global leaders slam the sham election. Oh, so CNN's reporters were trying to go there? They can go into Iraq, they can go into war zones, they go into Afghanistan without a problem, but they just couldn't manage to get to Nicaragua. So the New York Times, why can't I pull it up here, darn it?
You know that's because of socialism. Socialism doesn't allow news networks in their countries, socialist countries.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, they just will not allow CNN to get in there. But here are some of the headlines, and I'm trying to find the tweet because it's unfortunately.
I have it pulled up. If you would, this one?
Yeah, why didn't it save in my folder?
Do you want to just plug it into my, okay.
You guys should have shared notes.
We should have shared notes. Clayton doesn't share his notes.
Okay, maybe you can provide some.
Well, here's what I'll do is I will text you the link and you will pull it up.
Here we go. I got it. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so here is Ben Norton. This all started yesterday with Ben Norton, right? Reporter, great reporter, and who is actually there. So the New York Times tweets this. Natalie Kirtoff at the New York Times says, Nicaragua is holding what it calls an election today. Daniel Ortega has prepared by arresting all credible challengers, shutting down opposition parties, banning large campaign events, closing voting stations en masse. Okay. And I've reported on this with Yubel Kamandozag. Okay. That's her co-writer on this story for the New York Times. So it's so important that you understand where you're getting your news from and how these people lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a total piece of garbage. So then Ben Norton, who's actually there on the ground, tweets this. Absurd fake news from U.S. government mouthpiece, New York Times. Unlike this propagandist, I'm actually in Nicaragua reporting on the elections. I went to 4 different voting stations. They were all full with a total calm, transparent process. There are 7 options on the ballot, and 6 of them are opposition candidates.
Whereas her reporting said that they didn't have opposition candidates on the ballot.
Right. So her reporting at the New York Times, they were all arrested. They were all arrested, right? There's no voting stations open. You can't have all opposition parties are shut down, which is total garbage. Then the reports go further to say, Wyatt Reed, also reporting from Nicaragua, says, in the fantasy Nicaragua invented by the New York Times, There are no billboards or campaign posters featuring anyone else other than Daniel Ortega. Meanwhile, in real life, there are literally hundreds of opposition banners hanging all throughout the country. Look at this. Opposition banner, opposition banner, opposition banner. But the New York Times says there are no billboards or campaign posters featuring anyone else.
Why the heck?
I mean, look, look at these. And, you know, so these people who have no reporters there.
I mean, we've tried so hard to give everyone the benefit of the doubt when they're like, there's no rigged election. That's fake news.
Right.
You can trust us. We did, you know, we're reporting the truth. But then. But, why?
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. And CNN, by the way, says, you know, like no one turned out. People stayed home. No one went to vote. And I love this. This is a great. If you should follow this Twitter handle, they do a really good job keeping the eye on bull crap news. CNN claims a boycott of the election in Nicaragua, despite a turnout of 65%, almost exactly identical to the U.S. 2020 election of 66%. So does this look like a boycott? I mean, people lined up to vote.
It actually
in Nicaragua.
Looks quite peaceful.
Very peaceful.
Look, that guy's carrying a dinner tray. Look at that. Look at he's got food kid. On a tray.
Which is now illegal in Georgia. You can't give voters food or drink.
Right. So why do people, you know, dislike this in America? Why does the military-industrial complex dislike this? You know why? It's because people get health care there. It's because the government actually takes care of people there. And look at the opposition candidates. Here's a ballot. Six of them on the right. These are all ballot candidates. These are all opposition candidates. I mean, look at this. All opposition candidates. And here's my favorite. This is the reporter for the New York Times, the one that helped Natalie write the post. Not my Natalie, but the Natalie from the New York Times. So she weighs in. Oh, she stuck her neck into this one. She's about to get her head chopped off by Ben Norton. She says, well, it seems we're both in Nicaragua reporting. The difference is I'm Nicaraguan. To which Ben Norton responds, the other difference is that you are funded by the U.S. government. Your propaganda at La Prensa is funded by the CIA cutout NED. And so they've done major reporting on this at the Gray Zone, deep diving how this arm of the New York Times is in fact being funded by the CIA and how they've basically been funding this anti-Sandinista a government apparatus in Nicaragua. They hate socialism. They hate socialism. They hate that it would undermine democracy. They hate that big business and the military-industrial complex would have to then not make as much money, not be funded by these guys. It's unbelievable.
So tell us, does she respond to that?
No, she didn't respond.
We always got to have a boogeyman, don't we?
That was like a mic drop moment.
I mean, and what is that? Like, oh, but I'm actually Nicaraguan, so I understand context more. But right. If you are, then you should be able to read the signs or read a ballot or see people.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's strange.
So I just love that, like, you know, and like people are saying, like, look, I went to vote this morning. I went to vote this morning. It was very orderly, peaceful, and smooth. I'm proud of my country. I'm grateful for the democracy and the peace that we've achieved.
And so this New York Times reporter is like, no, you didn't.
Right.
You didn't do that.
I mean, it's amazing. Like, you know, and people are like, so what is the general sentiment there? And most people are like, the reason that Daniel Ortega has won is because generally most people like him. Most people like him. And maybe he is heavier handed than other leaders would have been. Sure. And I don't know enough about his history to speak on that. But I can tell you that they have health care. I can tell you that they've since the socialists took over, this has been a signal that the U.S. government is scared of it. This is like an example of what.
But
to
it's
expect.
Someone like that. Right. This person who's like, I'm Nicaraguan. I understand it. Right. Well, OK, that's fine. But then she went into it with her pre-existing, you know, like we don't want this guy. We, right. You know, she already had this in her head that the story was no one's coming because she already had that. Like,
right.
You don't have to be Nicaraguans to understand that there are people at an election.
Ben Norton tweets, desperate to try to discredit Nicaragua's election, Western governments and media are using absurd, unverifiable statistics from a small, shady organization that doesn't disclose its funders and is closely linked to the coup-plotting OAS. This is dirty information war on the socialists, the Sandinistas. Again, they don't like it. They don't like that people are taken care of. They don't like that, wow, you could have a government that actually provides education, healthcare, and takes care of its people.
And I think it's more than that, because we have to look at what natural resource is that guy potentially going to keep from us. You know what I mean? Like, it all boils down to there's either oil there or there's some kind of natural resource that we want that they're going to, like, it's going to be harder for us to get if that guy's in power.
Yeah. Yeah. And I
it's kind of a racist thing to say, like, hey, I'm Nicaraguan, I understand something. Like, we would never say that to like Christiane Amanpour. She's not American, right? But you can't report politics because.
Well, I mean, I just want to get to the heart of this. To your point, it doesn't matter that she's Nicaraguan and she's. It doesn't matter. The point of the story is that CNN didn't go there. New York Times didn't go there, except for the one woman who's there funded by the CIA.
Yes.
Is there reporting for the New York Times. So the New York Times story is total garbage. It is an absolute fabrication and a lie. And by the way, the New York Times has been ripped apart in the past for this, for having reporters not leaving their New York City apartments and reporting and making up entire stories. Remember? I mean, they fired their president of the New York Times at the time because of that very issue. I think Caitlin Johnston's take on this was perfect. She said, shut up about Nicaragua. Like, we're all criticizing Nicaragua for having an apparent sham election, which wasn't true. The United States election is a total sham. It's run by two parties who are one party. It's run by corporations and the military-industrial complex that were, and what she's saying is absolutely true. The whole reason Bernie Sanders isn't elected is because the Democrats sued to make sure that Green Party candidates and Bernie Sanders couldn't get on ballots, were pushed out of, pushed off of debate stages, did everything they could to make sure that these third parties are undermined. And the same thing that the Republicans do to make sure that the Libertarians and others are pushed off the ballot. So she says, you know, if you believe the mainstream narrative, she's like, all U.S. elections are fraudulent on the national level. None of them ever permit real opposition. It's a one-party system controlled by plutocratic and military institutions, fraudulently disguised as democracy. Shut the F up about Latin American elections.
Yes.
She's so good.
Go on, girl.
But yeah, this is a fake election with quotes around it. Look, I mean, this is the stuff they used to do under Trump, right? Like,
yes.
You know, they put like quotes around like election and stuff like
that. Or make fun of Fox News doing.
Right.
And then, but they're doing it.
But they're doing it.
Yes.
NBC rigged criticism mounts. From where? And remember, by the way, where's the global outrage? There is no global outrage. If you look online, there is no global outrage. No one's saying anything other than the United States and maybe the UK.
And that's what I was getting at. Like, I was going to say, when they did the Venezuela thing, remember when it's like all these countries are not going to recognize Maduro as the, you know, like they're saying this global outrage and these countries are recognizing Maduro. These, you know, it's like, it's ridiculous. It's propaganda.
Yes.
It is total propaganda. But anyway, we got more on that story. I just love this and how the mainstream media continues to lie to us. But that's why you get it from us. And hopefully we can educate you about how this whole machine works here. So
full disclosure, we did not also go to Nicaragua.
No, I haven't been to Nicaragua.
So.
But I'm just reporting on what's being said there.
Yes. So. We are questioning the narrative and seeing that there is alternative proof.
But you know who did go? Grover.
That's
why he's so tired. He was down there covering the election for Dog Television. I don't know if you've ever
watched
Dog.
Did he wear his
sweater? Dog TV. Onesie. Yeah, he had on his little, he had a cardigan and a microphone.
Did he fly Pet Airlines?
He did. He flew Pet Airlines first class.
Clayton once did a piece for Fox on Pet Airlines. It was pretty, it's one of his better pieces. It was funny about an airline that launched just for pets. Uh-huh. I don't think it exists anymore. Does it?
Pet Airways? I don't know, but it was back in the heyday when you could like have a crazy startup for pets, you know?
Actually, I mean, it still has a site. I'm going to look it up while you tell everybody about our next show sponsor.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And we've got more news to get to because we're going to talk about the Pentagon getting more money. And we'll also look at what's trending today and we'll take some of your super chats. So get into any of your questions now and we will get there in just a moment. But first I want to tell you about Manscaped because, ooh boy, their Performance Package 4.0 is now available. And look, guys, this is the perfect time to clean up your jingle balls for Christmas, right? Am I right?
Oh,
am I
right? Oh.
Untrimmed is a thing of the past, and it's possible that you have Santa's beard down there. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of the chimney, if you know what I mean.
Stop it.
I'm talking about Manscaped. and their performance package 4.0. Inside the performance package, you're going to find the signature lawnmower. Their lawnmower is fantastic. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, and I absolutely love it. David, you use it on your beard. Am I right?
Yes, you are right. I use it
and it's
daily.
It's waterproof. It's waterproof, too. Do you use it in the shower?
I've not used it in the shower yet, no.
Yeah. So it includes, they also come with a crop preserver and the crop reviver. It's an anti-chafing deodorant, moisturizer, and toner. I love it, and it smells good. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh. I can keep coming up with these if you want. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new Ultra Premium Body Wash. I just got the body wash. I'm super excited to try it out. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. They also just launched their new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with the benefit that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the very same time. So tis the season to load up on Manscaped right now. Perfect for, you know, the stocking stuffer or maybe, you know, one of those big
regular gifts.
Under
the tree gift.
This is me before Beardscape over here in the
gross.
Before Manscaped. Before you manscaped your back.
Yeah, Manscaped, yes.
Get 20% off right now. Right now, okay, and free shipping with the code INVEST. If you go to manscaped.com. Okay, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping if you use that coupon code INVEST. So right now at manscaped.com, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code INVEST. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Okay, guys?
Do you think these dudes use Manscaped?
Whoa. Why are you looking at that?
Because I didn't put this in the newsletter this morning, but I was considering it. This is the 2022 Cambridge Athletes calendar.
She's looking
calendar.
At a bunch of nude pictures.
So see if you can show that. There's no real way to do that.
I don't think we can do that. YouTube will flag us for nudity.
Most likely. But if you go to Cambridge Blue Snaked Calendar, it's like the volleyball team and the swimming team and stuff. Like, this is news. This is how they raise money for athletics at Cambridge University, with naked athletes in various like places that are iconic to the university. And this is what you should aim to have your nether regions look like.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm not saying should. If you know, be hairy where you want to be hairy.
Yeah.
But
just don't put the other
public
on
service
it.
Announcement. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Be hairy where
you want to be hairy.
As Natalie says, be hairy where you want to be hairy.
And be clean where you don't want to be hairy.
Yeah. I think and don't that put deodorant like, on it.
It's like what's the fire dog? The Dalmatian? Smokey the Bear, don't start forest fires.
Oh, you know what? There was another story I did not put in the newsletter about how there's a place in somewhere in the Northwest that has voted to not put clothes on Smokey the Bear anymore because he doesn't need them.
What
so
about a hat?
Now,
does he still get the hat?
Statue depictions of Smokey the Bear will be nude bear.
I'm very happy that this is the stuff we're spending time on.
Well, that's good because that was in that bill, wasn't it? That they can now have him portraying with a cigarette.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk about the Pentagon, shall we?
Okay. Reports are now that the Pentagon is on par to receive the most amount of your money, taxpayer money, than ever before. Now, if you recall, the argument of leaving Afghanistan was it was too expensive and there was no clear path to victory. So it was time to just go. There was no real like end game any longer. So we just pulled right out. You would think that would mean that we are going to save all of that money, not supporting the troops there, not sending war there, not sending food, not sending materials, not sending more people, right? That is not the case. Congress is now on the verge of raising military spending to $740 billion.
That's it.
Which begs the question, what's that for?
Right. Yeah, and this comes after.
What is that for?
Well, exactly. For $740 billion?
What can you get for that?
A new one? A new war?
a new war. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that the reports are that, hey, these guys went to, now that we've now negotiated with other countries in this region to make sure that we, while we're not in Afghanistan, we've basically repositioned all of our assets in this region to continue doing what we do, and into, you know, basically anything we want in this region. So airstrikes, drone attacks, anything. We're just not doing it from Afghanistan, from Bagram Air Base anymore. Now we're just doing it outside of, because now we've negotiated with other countries to be able to do this in their countries, in their backyard.
But what do we use that money for? You might recall that in early this year, in April, the president proposed a $715 billion budget, which already was 6% more than we used last year. And then the Armed Services Committee added $25 billion to that proposal. And why then, in a time when we're squabbling over social stimulus packages, does this not come to the Congress floor?
Of course it's not.
Approved, no bipartisan, nothing, just no discussion. Sign on the dotted line, there's a check.
There's only been a few, like Barbara Lee of California and other progressives like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who called for a 10% reduction in the military budget. And she was basically, you know, that never saw the light of day. That was, you know, I mean, ridiculous. Barbara Lee of California went to vote on the invasion in 2001 and called on Republicans as, and well, she was one of the few people to say, no, let's not. She was one of the few, I think the only. Mm-hmm. She was the only person in Congress to vote against the invasion. And she said, we've got to stop spending our money on these endless wars, and we've got to start pulling our money towards addressing human needs in the United States. This is expected to cost $7 trillion over the next 10 years.
That is four times more than the Build Back Better package that we're squabbling over.
They whittled that down to less than two.
And they're getting even more money. I mean, this is amazing, as The Intercept points out. You know, they're raising the military spending, continuing to grow, and get as much money as they want. And these things get added in, as The Intercept points out, that they just get called plus ups, you know? So they're like, oh, the Pentagon had a budget of $715 billion, but then we just decided to do what's called a plus up.
It's like adding an appetizer.
Right. Oh, I just had a plus up. A plus up of $40 billion we added to your budget. Just a little plus up. I just had a little plus up done.
So what do they want us to think we need this money for? Well, now we're starting to think that we might need to go to war with China.
Exactly.
Right? And so we had a story this morning in the newsletter where the Navy says, hey, we noticed that China has built duplicates of our Navy warship and they're doing target practice on it. And they released images of it, right? So, okay, do we know those are the exact specs, or is that just like... Or is that just
that looks like an a wine outline? Bottle.
It does look like a wine bottle.
Like China builds mock-ups of U.S. Navy ship. That's a giant wine bottle.
So, okay, they want to pretend, they want to simulate attacks on the U.S.
I mean, we are the only ones that can attack.
I don't know.
If we are the only ones that can attack outside of our country, so they need to, you know, not be doing this kind of stuff, because nobody can attack us. We attack.
Yeah. We're really worried about them attacking us. I mean, we're in nine different wars. I mean, I'm learning about a new war like every day. Like, you know, we just learned last week that we're in Ethiopia. You know, like we learned, you know, I mean, what, we're secretly in Nicaragua. Like, where else are we now, like in secret wars that we just don't even know about, we'll find out about, that the American people will learn this is where our troops are there training. We found out we were in Taiwan. Like a few weeks ago, we found out we were in Taiwan.
David, why do you say that nobody can attack us?
No, I'm just saying that's the hypocrisy of it. We can attack whoever we want, but it's hypocritical, you know, that we are thinking that they shouldn't
create a
way to defend themselves from us doing that. It's like we're such hypocrites. Like, nobody can overthrow an election except for us. So don't run Facebook ads in America, Russia, and try to overthrow our elections. That's our job. Don't create a defense system against the United States. That's our job, to have defense systems against the whole world.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we'll have the Star Wars system. You can't do that. Yeah.
But the propaganda machine has been warming us to a war in China for a long time now, because they need to divert those funds.
And we need a new boogeyman, right? So if we're not focused on Russia, right? If we're not focused in Afghanistan against the Taliban, who can we you know, make sure that the American people are scared of? It's China. And we keep beating the drum about concerns about Taiwan and, you know, the back and forth about we're going to defend Taiwan against it. And that's going to be our next war. I mean, it's all the signs are pointing to this. And why?
I mean, thing is, all these people should be afraid. We are the only country to ever use nuclear weapons. We have used them twice. And we're the ones that are walking around saying, you shouldn't have them. You shouldn't have them. We're going to make sure you don't have them. We're the ones that have used them. We're the ones that should not have them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we used them on our own troops to test them out to see how effective they were. You know, well, we can't talk about that, but we can do definitely testing out in Nevada deserts. And hey, you guys just stand over here for a second. We're going to explode this thing. We just want to see how it affects your, you know, if you get testicular cancer. OK, go ahead, guys. You guys stand over there.
Oh, there was a episode of This American Life about a man who was a young boy who was specifically one of those people. Oh. And it was awful. Just to hear him, he's like, we didn't know any better. We just stood there. And it looked like an amazingly large light and heat. And like, you know, now most of my friends had awful cancers. And, you know, it was, awful.
It's like, awful. It was like they were placed at Chernobyl. And it's like, what kind of information were they given to do that? You know what I mean? Like, they were probably like, it's not going to hurt you. We just want to test.
Yeah. It was exactly like that. Yeah, I do recommend that episode. It was in an episode about like things that children are scared of, but something about childhood scares, you know, like real atrocities that children have seen.
And it's amazing, too, to think about like, well, in schools, like just hide under a table, like because that'll protect right. you from a nuclear bomb. You
yes.
know? And it's of our own doing. I mean, you know, we bring in Nazi war criminals to the United States to help on, you know, to help us. To help us build these bombs and rockets. I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, but this is the new boogeyman, and the Pentagon is ramping up. And this is why you're going to have to spend more money. This is why they're going to have to spend, you know, $740 billion a year on this budget to make sure that, you know, we've got a phony, we're creating a new phony war with China.
I just don't understand this because we're so dependent on foreign imports from China. Why would we willingly pick a new fight there?
Well, and, that's, and think about all of the assets that that China owns in this country. Like I've heard people say that if China were to flood our markets with all of the bonds and stuff that they hold, they could crash our economy.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, we had to try to stop. And Vancouver was dealing with this, right? The Chinese were buying up as, you know, building after building and home after home, and the Canadian government were like, okay, hold on. this is bad for Canadians because Canadians can't buy these buildings anymore.
You know, just last year in Portugal, there was a scandal because the American ambassador gave, at the time, it was a Trump appointee, gave an interview that said that Portugal really has to decide how to get China and Chinese investment out of Portugal and out of Europe. And this is, and the Portuguese government said, you don't speak for us. We will decide what we do about Chinese investors. And they have friendly immigration programs for Chinese investors, right? And they were like, we do not want you telling us what to do. You will kindly stay out of it, right? But this was a scandal because America is trying to go around the world and say, we're all against China, right? We hate China. We don't want Chinese investment, right? That's right. How we feel. No China. Right. And it is part of a larger narrative, like whether or not you should be worried about Chinese investment should be decided by yourself, right? It's not for America to say how much to be worried about Chinese investment.
Well, I would love everybody. It is. I would love everybody right now, everybody, you included, Clayton and Natalie, look around where you're sitting and think of how many things are made in China that are sitting around you right now. Everything we're using for this live stream is right. from China. Sony cameras, like all this stuff. There's parts and stuff that are manufactured in China. We would be the ones screwed in that scenario.
Yeah, like this cam, like the camera that I'm, you know, on Grover right now. You know, parts come out of China for on, you know, iPhone.
Your
like
little iPhones that you have, those are manufactured over there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's all about money. It's all about this. It's all about this financial hegemony. It's not about like military might. It's about money and making sure that the U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world and the Chinese yuan is not. But many experts believe that China will overtake the United States by 2030. maybe even at the latest.
I was looking at my compact. World leader.
Was that from China?
No, it's from France.
This mouse, where's this mouse from? No, find it.
Let's look at our Kirkland tissue. Mm-hmm.
Everyone at home, see if you can reach something and find if it's from China or not.
Well, and the thing is, like, we don't even know, like, raw materials maybe from China and not the, yeah. It could be manufactured in the U.S. I see that a lot, but it's like the stuff that's sourced comes from China.
Made in the USA from domestic and imported materials. So
there you go.
Maybe it was put together from.
And even the chicken, some of the chicken you eat from Walmart has been sent to China. It's been processed and seasoned and sent back to the grocery stores.
That's just gross. Disgusting. Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on to what's trending, everybody.
That's disgusting. Okay. All right. What's trending in the world today? All right.
This is the segment where we tell you what's trending on the internet so you can participate or tell us what you think. Ann Coulter is trending. I'm sorry. Is that a picture of Ann Coulter? No, it's not. I'm sorry. I failed to put a picture of Ann Coulter, but you know what she looks like in your head. She is the conservative pundit, and she took to attacking former President Trump, and that surprised her followers. She was on a conservative podcast recently, and she called him abjectly stupid, and that got her to trend on Twitter.
What I don't understand is that she's been saying that for half of his presidency.
She mm-hmm. has been, yeah. But I think people just decide that there's this, like a cohort of conservatives that speak for the Republican Party, and we don't expect them to have
an opinion,
any opinion other than what the company line is. And she has been going against the company line for a long time, but it still has her trending.
I think too, right now it's kind of volatile because there's so many people are like fed up with what's going on, and they think that there's going to be an election and they want a Republican. So like the team's got to rally together right now.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Well, what's interesting about her, I went into this. I listened to that whole podcast episode last week. I don't know why it's just now trending today, because maybe, I don't know, it's just taken off. But she's been calling him stupid for quite a while. She laid into him big time in the last 2 years of his presidency. She was eviscerating him. Why? She was a supporter of his. And I've interviewed her countless times. Her biggest issue is, she's like, remember, she told President Trump this, the read my lips moment of George H.W. Bush, read mm-hmm. my lips, no new taxes. And then he comes out and raises taxes. She, you know, his read my lips moment was about making the border wall and that Mexico would pay for it. That his whole thing was, I'm going to build a wall.
Yes.
I'm going to build a wall. And then he didn't build a wall. And then Mexico didn't pay for it. And the fact that he didn't do it, she said, is the reason that he lost that election. She's like, he continued to lie to his supporters over and over and over again. Tell them one thing and do the exact opposite. So she's like, what I didn't realize is just how stupid he is, she said. So that was, anyway.
Okay.
That's her and Coulter.
That's Biden, too. So she must feel the same way.
You know, there are a lot of progressives and Democrats now who are saying, I didn't realize I agree with Ann Coulter, because so many people want to just tune her out because they think mm-hmm. she's conservative mouthpiece. And so now they're like, wait, what are you saying? I agree with you. So it's a strange wires crossed moment for some Twitter users.
Well, and that's why I watch a lot of them, because like I get Ben Shapiro stuff I like Steve. Crowder. You know, like I watch all of them, Kyle Kalinske, Jimmy Dore, because I agree with some of what all of them saying. You have to kind of see, you know, every side to come up with how you're going to feel about something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Getty is trending because Ivy Love Getty, she's an heiress to the oil tycoon Getty, was married last weekend in a lavish ceremony that was officiated by Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Do you have that image of Nancy Pelosi marrying them? That one right there.
I was wondering what that is.
That's Nancy Pelosi marrying this very extravagant bride and her fiance. It was like a big fancy ceremony. Apparently Anya Joy, the woman who is the Queen's Gambit, the actress. Yes, you know her. She's the Queen's Gambit.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember.
Click on the image of them dancing. No, I don't have that. It didn't make it into the folder. Anyway, it's in vogue. You can go look it up. It's what wealthy people do when they have 5-day wedding ceremonies with all of the A-list celebrities. So
I bet you and I, or anyone watching right now, could simply have a member of Congress officiate their wedding, right? Mm-hmm. Most normal people can have that happen, right?
Wonder what her officiating fee is.
Right. It's only $100,000 to have Nancy Pelosi officiate your wedding.
Yeah. Okay. Tom Holland is trending because leaked images show him in a movie frame dressed as Spider-Man alongside Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. No word where this actually comes from, if it's like an actual frame from the upcoming movie. People are losing their minds.
Yeah, I zoomed that in and I tried to see if that was Photoshop. Like, I really examined that image and it looks like, based on lighting and stuff, I mean, it looks to be pretty accurate. Like, I can't find any signs of Photoshop.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Okay. So does this mean they're all in the movie?
I think so. I mean, we keep hearing about the metaverse, right? Or the multiverse, right? So it's, you know, you're going to have multiple. It's like
if they put their spider face back on, would you be able to tell who they were by body type?
Yeah, if you had
would
in
definitely
the lineup,
know Tom Holland.
Why?
Yeah. Why?
He's a bit stockier.
He's the buffier one of them, and if
the buffier.
He's the one that does the, like, the stunts and stuff. Like, he's very agile.
Yeah. Yes.
I like how they, well, plus they've got their Spidey suits on from their Spidey movies. So,
yeah. Oh, they are the respective Spidey suits? Okay.
Yeah, I would see, I can see, definitely.
I'm kind of disappointed that Tobey Maguire's not in the black suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the one that looks like a basketball. It always looked like, right. So, okay, I'm here for it.
I'm game.
Yeah, I'm game.
You know, the rumors used to be that Tobey Maguire did not like to wear he was claustrophobic, so he wouldn't wear the face mask often. So that's why in those movies he was constantly removing. So it's, you know, is this going to be something else that plays to his aversion to the mask, or is this just a scene where we get them all and we're happy about it?
I do not like the removal of the Spidey mask.
But it's in this case, we're happy with it because...
Well, we're seeing them and they're interacting. Okay. I get that. But like the constant ripping off of the mask is not something that he ever did in the comic book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He'd have a shred of it. It was like ripped, right? And you could see part of his face after he was in a big fight.
Right.
You know, but not...
You know.
Okay.
You know, Andrew Garfield caught a lot of crap for his version of Spider-Man, but I actually liked it. I thought he did a great job. So just throwing out there, Andrew.
I only watched it one time. I think my son wants to see it, so maybe we'll watch it and see. I'll go back.
Was it only one movie he did? He did two, right?
Yeah.
I remember one because I had just given birth, and it was when Ava was young enough to still be, like, you could take a newborn to the baby, to the movies, and she would just sleep the whole time. So I just wrapped her up in so that the noise didn't bother her and just kept her in the little, like, wearable, and she slept through the whole thing. So that's my memory of
that. Was it the first one? The first one?
I believe it was the first Andrew Garfield. And then, like, I nursed partly through it. Like, we did take our newborns to the movies for a little bit when we knew they wouldn't make a sound, when they were just sleepers.
Yeah.
And then once they started making noise, we're like, oh, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So that's my memory of Andrew Garfield. So yes, I should rewatch it without a person on me. And finally, hashtag November 9th, Nov9Coup. Is trending because of renewed protests against the military coup in Myanmar. Citizens are using the hashtag to recruit others to march on this, which is the 275th day of resistance. It's really been going on for that long. It sort of does feel like that. And there's no end in sight.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because they're like, now it's like the military is wondering why they're continuing to fight. And this guerrilla warfare is actually doing pretty well. It's like they're fighting against people that like are untrained.
Yes.
They're like hiding in the shadows and they're actually winning. And so, you know, they're dealing with this resistance right now. And so a lot of the fighters are like, why are we doing this? Why are we getting killed for this?
Yeah.
To run this? So it's interesting what's happening there. Set.
All right, everybody, it's Taco Tuesday. I hope you get some tacos for lunch. Maybe you have a taco breakfast. Maybe you have a taco dinner. We would be so happy to be tagged in your social media if you're having tacos and want to share it with us. That would be great. But we wish you a wonderful Taco Tuesday, whether you have tacos or not, whether you like tacos or not. Go out there and make it a good Tuesday.
Yeah. Have a great day, everyone.
See you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Grover says goodbye.
Bye, Grover.